continue this morning with our Lenten theme, a journey through the desert, reminding that during the season of Lent, it is a dry time. And like Christ, who went out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and he was tempted. We too are struggling with that commitment to obedience. Each Sunday, we have experienced a different symbol to remind us of the meaning of this journey. We have sand to remind us that it is in the driest times of our life that we often find God the most and find that spark that gives new life. We are reminded through the rocks that our faith is not built on sand, but on the solid rock of the Word of God. And today our symbol is the bush that gives shelter. When we are in the desert of Lent, the shelter of God protects us. He comes over us with his grace and his love and his mercy to give us strength. Our scripture is from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this morning. If you're a guest with us, welcome to First Baptist Church of Elon. You've joined us for a very special Sunday. Gay will come in a few moments to share more about our guest speaker, but Dawn, it's great to have you with us this morning. We look forward to experiencing the gifts that God has blessed you with this morning. I did also want to let you know, immediately following worship service out in the vestibule, if you want to stop by the table and speak to Dawn, and she has some books and some CDs that you have the opportunity to purchase if you would like to, but please stop by and see what God has been doing in Dawn's life over the past few years. I also want to remind you that we do have Sunday night activities this evening. For children, youth, and adults, everyone will be meeting, so I encourage you to come out for those times of study. Wonderful opportunities coming up in the weeks ahead as well, so please check out the salmon colored sheet with more information about what's going on here at First Baptist Elon. If you are a guest with us, we do want to know if you joined us today, so if you don't mind filling out one of the guest cards in the pew and place it in the offering plate as it's passed by later on in the service. We are here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Your Spirit is with us, and we are thankful for the guidance that it is bringing to our time of worship. Father God, as we lift our songs of praise and prayers and scripture reading and testimonies today, Father, may it all be pleasing to you. Father God, we are in this time where we're called to reflect as we approach the cross and the empty tomb. Father God, I just ask that you allow this day to be a day of preparation, of reflection, and repentance. We lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join us in singing our offertory hymn, In Christ Alone.
For every sin on Let us pray. Father God, you are so good to us. You have blessed us in ways that, quite frankly, we've probably forgotten. But Lord, as we bring just a small portion of the blessings that you've given us, we pray that you would be pleased and we'd be pleased with the giver. For we ask it all in the name of Christ. Amen.
It is my honor and my privilege to introduce our guest today. Dawn Smith Jordan is no stranger to the music world. She, and I'm not going to read her whole bio. It's in your bulletin, but she is a Christian artist and singer. She comes to us from Columbia, South Carolina, actually Irmo, South Carolina, and she is a former Miss USA winner in 1986, I believe it is, and a runner-up to Miss America. And she has a powerful testimony and a beautiful voice that you will be blessed. So here is Dawn Smith Jordan.
Good morning. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on that sparrow. The sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Aren't you glad? Let not your heart be troubled. No, his tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose all my doubt and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. And I know he watches me, yeah. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. I know he watches. He watches over me.
Amen. I feel like we should have put a bird right here, Pastor Mason. Because I can just come right here and see through it. It is so good to be here this morning. Oh, what a privilege it is to be here in your beautiful church on this glorious Sunday morning. And Matthew 6 says, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry about what they eat or what they wear. Doesn't that sound good on a Sunday? And then it says, goes on to say, how much more does your Father in heaven care for you? And the word says that he's a God who sees, that he sees you. He sees me right where we are. And he cares for us. And I just love knowing that the God of all creation is intimately acquainted with you and me. Don't you love that this morning? It is, it's good to be in the house of God always. Yesterday, I was over in Eastover, North Carolina for a women's conference. And I'm very directionally challenged to be traveling in ministry for 30 years. And I was sitting at the table after the women's conference. We were at the church from about 8 a.m. to 3 o'clock. And I'm thinking y'all are 15 minutes away. And I said, they said, are you going home? I said, no, I'm singing just over in Elon tomorrow. And nobody said anything. I said, do y'all know where that is? And they said, yeah, it's about two and a half hours away. I said, what? And so I'm delighted to be here, but I'm telling you, by the time I got to that hotel room last night, I was dead. And so I think I was asleep at 9 o'clock, so I feel good today. But like Gay told you, she said Miss USA. I was actually Miss South Carolina. It doesn't matter. It's all the same, really. It doesn't matter. But I was sitting on the front row of a church in Somerville, South Carolina, a few summers ago, and looking in the bulletin, and here's what I read. We welcome today Dawn Smith Jordan, Miss South Carolina, and second runner-up to Miss America, 1886. And so for the record, I just want you to know it's 1986, okay? But I had not planned on doing this morning, but I'm going to do it for fun because some of y'all were not alive in 1986, okay? I think we're pretty good today for the most part. But, you know, I'm singing for people that were not alive. So for the fun of it, don't worry, sound guys, it's fine. We're not going to mess up or anything. But I'm going to take y'all back to 1986. And I sang for my talent. And it sounded something, well, can't get the mic right, like this. Ah,
Je veux vivre dans ce rêve qui m'enivre longtemps encore. Douce femme, je te garde dans mon âme.
Woken up a little bit. And that same year, I had the privilege of, please take it away. Seriously, guys, take it away. Thank you. I had the privilege of being asked to sing on the South Carolina Billy Graham Crusade. And it was really funny because I was in a women's conference in Texas. It's been a couple of summers ago now. And this darling little lady came running down the aisle. And she said, honey, 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 I sang you on TV last night. And I said, you did? What was I doing? And she said, well, you were singing all the Billy Graham Crusade classics. And that's the first I'd heard that I'm living and on a program with the word classics in it. So between 1886 and classics, I don't know which is worse. But my mama's life scripture was 2 Corinthians 12:9, and she's been with the Lord now for 13 years. She had ovarian cancer, and God healed her in heaven, and I will see her again. But she lived every day by the grace of God, and I'm so grateful for the example. But this scripture I need to hear every day, and I bet you do too. And it's Jesus speaking to you and to me, and he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so if you've come today, and maybe you feel weak, maybe you feel weary, I want you to know that's okay, because we all are there in this life. But Jesus says his grace is perfect, his strength is perfect in our weakness. And so I would love for y'all to sing a little bit with me. Gay's already done a beautiful job of leading in worship in Christ alone. That's one of my absolute favorites. I love the Gettys. I saw on your Facebook you posted one of their wonderful songs recently. But I have to say, y'all, I always pray, God, hide me behind the cross. Today he is. Literally. As we sing about the grace of God, let's just celebrate together. I sang Amazing Grace on that program, but it continues to be my testimony, and I bet it is yours as well. So let's celebrate it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Would you listen?
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining is the sun with newest days to sing God's praise. Then
Amen. Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my life scripture. It's been my life scripture for years, and I bet some of us share it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I was a 9-year-old little girl sitting in a church in Columbia, South Carolina, where I'm from, and my dad was a Baptist deacon, and my mama sang in the choir, and my parents both taught Sunday school, and they had a prison ministry and a nursing home ministry, and it was my dad, my mom, my little brother, my little sister, and me. And the song that was being sung at the invitation that Sunday night was this one. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And this 9-year-old little me could not stand it anymore, and I had to get up and walk down the front of the aisle, and I took the pastor's hand, and I said, Pastor, I want to ask Jesus to come into my life, to be my Lord and my Savior, and I want to be baptized, and I want to live for Jesus. As best I understood as a 9-year-old little girl, I made that commitment to follow Jesus. And you know, at 9 years old, I really did not have any idea the life that God would call me to live, the life that God would entrust me to live. I simply said, I want to give my life to you, Jesus, because you've given your life for me. But you know who did know the life that he called me to live was God. And he met me then and there. And I've never been the same, y'all, from 9 years old to 52, almost 53. He reached out at that point, and he measured out saving grace because he became my Savior. And then as it grew in my walk with the Lord, it became sustaining grace, redeeming grace, sufficient grace for each and every day. But at 9 years old is where my journey of deciding to follow Jesus began. No turning back. And so I grew up in church. I'm so grateful for the heritage of faith that my family has. I now am the mother of 2 grown children, and I'm an empty nester, and I was sad for about a day. And then I realized I didn't ever have to cook again if I didn't want to, because my children now, Hannah is 23, and she married her high school sweetheart back in May. His name is Clayton Little, so I have a wonderful son-in-law and 2 adorable, precious, grand dogs. And they live in Charleston, South Carolina, and my son-in-law is going to dental school there at MUSC. Hannah sings on the worship team at her church and has her own pet care company. They both graduated from Clemson. I know y'all don't care in North Carolina, but I will simply say they are number one. But I know that Gay's is a Carolina fan, and so am I. Don't tell my kids. And so they love the Lord, and I'm so grateful for answered prayer. And then my precious boy Ross is 20. And I'm just going to be real transparent with y'all. I've got a prodigal right now. He and his girlfriend packed up. This August will be 2 years. And they moved all the way to Denver, Colorado. And so I am in the midst of trusting God, in the midst of hard days as a mama. But I happen to believe that the Word of God shows us that he brings prodigals home. And so I'm looking forward to that day. So I'm grateful for that heritage of faith that I pray continues in my children's lives. And so my sister Sherry and I used to sing together. We were pretty well known in the Columbia, Lexington area where I live now. We were known as the Smith Sisters. I know you all heard of us, yes? No? We were quite famous, y'all. I mean, we sang in tons of churches and nursing homes. And one time we thought we'd hit the big time. You might even know where this is, Gay. We sang at Scott's Furniture in Lexington's 1-year anniversary. And we were paid $25, $12.50 each. But I treasure those times because in 1985, life changed forever. When Sherry was 17 years old, she was 2 days from high school graduation. I was 21. I was at Columbia College studying voice. Our brother Robert was just 15. And Sherry had been at graduation rehearsal that morning and had come home, pulled her car in the driveway, as she did, and a man had followed her from town, and he pulled out a gun, and he told her to get in the car, and she did. And so what began as my sister disappearing became the largest manhunt that South Carolina has ever seen. It was, and it still is to this day. And so for 5 days, we had no idea where Sherry was. Can y'all imagine that? Not knowing where your loved one is for 5 days. And, you know, especially this generation, you young girls that were sitting behind me, y'all can't imagine life without cell phones, can you? We didn't have cell phones back then. We had those phones in the house that had the long cord that you could wrap yourself around. Y'all remember that? And so we didn't have the cell phone like I can text Hannah and Ross right now and get them right this minute if I need to. We didn't have that. And so for 5 days, we had no idea where she was. And this man began to call our home. He called our home 8 different times. And at first, he asked to speak to my mom. And then he asked to continue to speak to her. And it became too upsetting. And so at 21 years old, I was asked by one of the FBI SLED agents in our home if I would answer, because they needed a woman to speak to him who could keep him on the phone to trace that call to get Sherry back. And so that became my responsibility at 21 years old, to answer the phone calls of a kidnapper. And so 5 days after he had taken Sherry, he called our home again, and I took the call. And he seemed to be very quickly reading directions, and the authorities followed those directions. And all the while, he was telling us he was going to give Sherry back, and he was going to turn himself in. And so we were completely hopeful that that was exactly what was going on. And at the end of those directions, they found my sister's very badly decomposed body. He had murdered her the very first night that he took her and left her outside. And Gay told me the town that she's from is Saluda, South Carolina, which is where my sister's body was found, not far from where she lived. And so all of a sudden, all of our hopes and all of our dreams crashed to the ground. And I'll never forget telling my mom, "Mom, our lives are shattered. How do you pick up the pieces and you go on with life when this has happened?" And so the man continued to call, and he said that Sherry had written a letter and that we needed to check our mailbox because that letter would be coming. And sure enough, this letter came in the mail, and it was in Sherry's handwriting. And I want to read to y'all what she wrote. She was 17 years old. She was going to graduate from high school, singing the national anthem at graduation ceremonies, go on a cruise with her classmates, and then come to Columbia College and study voice, where I was a voice student. And instead, she found herself sitting in a room with a man who told her, "I'm going to kill you. Here's a piece of paper and a pen, and you can write a letter of farewell to your family." Now, y'all, I'm going to be 53 in a few weeks. I cannot imagine looking at that blank piece of paper and knowing those were the last words that I would ever say to my children, to my family, to my beloved ones. But I also know God met Sherry right there in that room. And this is what she wrote. She called it her last will and testament. It was written at 3:10 a.m. He had held her for about 12 hours. And she said, "I love you, Mommy, Daddy, Robert, Dawn, and Richard, and everyone else, and all other friends and relatives. I'll be with my father now, so please, please don't worry. Just remember my witty personality and great special times we all shared together. Please don't even let this ruin your lives. Just keep living one day at a time for Jesus. Some good will come out of this. My thoughts will always be with and in you," in parentheses, casket closed. Sorry, y'all. "I love you all so much. Richard, sweetie," that was her boyfriend, "I really did and always will love you and treasure our special moments. I ask one thing, though. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. My family has always been the greatest influence of my life. Sorry about the cruise money. Somebody please go in my place. I'm sorry if I ever disappointed you in any way. I only wanted to make you proud of me because I've always been proud of my family. Mom, Dad, Robert, and Dawn, there's so much I want to say that I should have said before now. I love you. I know y'all love me and will miss me very much, but if y'all stick together like we always did, y'all can do it. Please do not become hurt or upset. Everything works out for the good for those that love the Lord. All my love, always, Sherry. In capital letters, I love y'all with all of my heart. And then P.S., Nana, our grandmother, I love you so much. I kind of always felt like your favorite. You were mine. I love you a lot. Y'all, that's what it looks like to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I don't hear any fear, do you? I just hear faith. Sherry chose faith. She didn't give in to fear. She gave us an example at 17 years old of how we are to live life. She knew where she was going because not long after her big sister decided to follow Jesus, so did she. And she knew that whenever her life on this earth ended, she'd be going to heaven. And so I know where she is. I'll see her again. I was just recently on that program, Eyewitness, and I had to go to New York City twice to be on that program. And those people in New York City had no idea what they'd gotten themselves into when they asked this South Carolina chick to come to New York City and be on a show called Eyewitness, because I did. And somebody recently asked me, they said, how in the world did you manage to get so much of your Christian testimony and your faith on that show? I said, he did it. I didn't do anything. I just told the story that I was called upon to tell, and God let it get in there. And you know what? That's what he's called us to do, y'all. When he's given us a story to tell, he's called us to tell it, to live it for his glory. And so that man continued to call our home, and a precious 9-year-old little girl had gone missing. And authorities feared that he had taken her as well. And 2 weeks after he had called giving directions to Sherry's body, I answered the phone. And that little girl's family didn't have a phone. And so he called me with directions to her body as well. And in the very last phone call, I answered and he said, Dawn, did you know that it's God's will that you join Sherry? It's just a matter of time, this month, this year, next year. But I will get you too. And the last words he said were, Dawn, your time is near. And he hung up the phone. And I'll never forget that chilling feeling of, am I going to live in fear the rest of my life? That man's going to get me too. And if you've seen the program on Forensic Files called Eyewitness, then you know that this letter was the piece of evidence that led authorities to catching him. Not only was Sherry's letter such an incredible gift to my family, not only is it a testimony that lives on all these years later, but it was the piece of evidence that had a phone number imprinted on the page before, from the page before Sherry's letter. And authorities were able to call that number, find where he was house-sitting, arrest him. He was sentenced to 2 death row sentences before he was executed years ago. But while in prison, he wrote me a letter. And he said that while there, someone had shared the gospel with him, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, Baptist deacon's daughter, man on death row, whoever, y'all, whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And he said he came to the place of asking God to forgive him for the horrible things that he had done. And he said, Dawn, will you and your family ever forgive me? And I'm gonna tell y'all, I got that. He took Sherry in 1985. I got that letter in 1989. It was when the movie on our story was being done and I was writing my first book, and the movie aired originally on CBS. It's now on Netflix. And I got that letter and I couldn't respond because I thought, how do you forgive the unforgivable? God, I don't know if I can forgive him. And so from 1989 to 1991, I ignored it. And I finally came to the place of realizing this was an issue in my life that was not settled. And so I said, God, you got to help me to even know how to want to forgive that man. What do I do? And so he led me to his word. When you don't know what to do, my dear friends, this morning, Go to the Word of God. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so I read Ephesians 4:32 that says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God through Christ has also forgiven you. You know, I've heard it said, unforgiveness is the poison you drink hoping somebody else will die. That's what it is. Unforgiveness is poison to the one that's not willing to forgive. C.S. Lewis said, to be a Christian is to forgive the inexcusable because God has already forgiven the inexcusable in you. And so I came to the realization that forgiveness is nothing I have to muster up, because you know why? Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. The debt paid in full for that man's sin, for my sin, for your sin. And I came to the realization that forgiveness is a choice of literally handing over the responsibility of justice to God. And you know what we do, y'all? We leave it there. And so I sat down and I wrote that man a letter back. And I said, because of Jesus, because of the cross, because of the forgiveness I've received, I want you to know that I forgive you. And I'm going to tell you something. When I sang that first song, I sing because I'm happy. And she played it so beautifully as well. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. The day that I forgave the deepest hurts in my life, do you know who God set free? You're looking at her. This chick right here. You're looking at free indeed, because the scripture says, whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. I'll never forget sitting on the front row of the First Baptist Church of Wagner, South Carolina, last summer, and I heard the man behind me say to the young lady beside him, who is that? And she said, that's our speaker singer for today. I'm not kidding you. They were right there. It's all I could do, not turn around and go, I can hear y'all. I'm right here. Hey. And then I heard him say this. He said, oh, yeah, that's that girl whose sister was murdered, isn't it? And then it was literally time for me to stand up and sing. And so I stood up and sang that morning. And as I drove home, I had a conversation with the Lord. And I said, Lord, is that who people think I am? Because if that's all that people think I am, then this is a tragedy instead of a triumph. And if that's all that I am, then that means this morning y'all are looking at a victim up here. But because of what Romans says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. And so there is no victim up here on this platform today, but you're looking at a victor. Victorious through Christ. Because if I were a victim, then that means I'd be looking back trying to go in life that way. And you know what? It's kind of hard. I'm going to fall off the stage if I keep going, right? So it's time to quit looking back. And it's time to let go of the past and trust God for the future. I have the privilege of teaching private piano and voice students in my house during the week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And a couple of years ago, it seemed like every single student, whether they played the piano or sang, they wanted to do a certain song from a certain Disney movie. Do y'all know where I'm going with this? Let it go, let it go. Every single one. But you know what? The number one word used in the New Testament to forgive literally means let it go. Leave it with God. There are so many of us walking around who claim to be Christians, and we are singing a somebody done somebody wrong song, and nobody wants to hear it. Y'all didn't ask me to come here today to sing that song, did you? No. And so we have to let it go. Switchfoot has a song that was on Christian radio that was popular years ago that says, yesterday is a wrinkle on your forehead. It is. But this is your life. Are you who you want to be? You know, my mom was such an example to me. She lost Sherry, and she still walked in the grace of God with joy and a radiant smile. She had a brain aneurysm years ago when my children were little. And she wasn't supposed to survive, and she did. And she came out, and she wrote a book, and she began to speak to women's groups. And then she got ovarian cancer, and she battled for 2 years. And mom had a speaking engagement at a church for a women's event, and I was going to go with her that night. But she was very frail from the chemo and sick. And so I called her that day on the phone, and I said, Mom, you know, you can call in sick. Cancer is a legitimate excuse. They'll understand. I'll never forget what she said. She said, honey, I could call in sick. I'm sick. She said, but Dawn, I believe tonight's a divine appointment. And as long as I have breath in this body of mine, I'm going to be about the business of telling the story God has entrusted me to tell. Now you going to go with me or not? That's the way we need to be about living our lives. Because God has entrusted you a story to tell. Just like he has me. He has called us all to be witnesses to what he has done in our lives. Max Lucado says, you will never forgive anyone more than God has already forgiven you. I'll never forget the day that the man that took Sherry was arrested. And because Mom and I had spoken to him on the phone, we had to go to the jail cell. And we sat in this room, literally this close across from that man. And he began to speak. And my mom looked at him and she said, I know that you're the man that killed my Sherry. She said, I finally have a face to go with the voice I can't stop hearing in my head like a broken record. She said, but I'm looking at you and I know it's you. She said, but I want you to know I forgive you. I don't hate you. And I'll pray for you. God used that in my life to point me to the fact that if my mom could forgive the man who killed her daughter, surely I could forgive. Surely today, if there's something in your life that you're holding on to, you can't be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control if you're filled with unforgiveness. And Jesus came that we would have life. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he was up to when he came and that sick man took my sister. The enemy would have loved to have seen our lives destroyed. But Sherry said, don't let this ruin your lives. And so one day at a time, one breath at a time, one second at a time. I remember being 21 and thinking life was over. But guess what? Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so today I'm asking you, are you living the abundant life that Christ has for you? He set me free. Colossians 3 says, we are to forgive as we've been forgiven. Ephesians 5:1 that says, therefore, as dearly beloved children, be imitators of God. As dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. I'm doing a Bible study right now by a wonderful author. Her name is Ann Boskamp, and it's called The Broken Way. And it's such a good study, and she talks about living cruciform a lot, that it is when I am no longer living, it's Christ who lives in me. And she pins a cross on her wrist every morning. So I went to my hairdresser's recently and I had this cross on my wrist and she said, you got a tattoo? I said, yeah. And I played along for a while. And then I said, no, I wrote it with a pen. I'm too chicken to ever get a tattoo. It hurts and I'm not doing anything that hurts on purpose. But every day I draw this tiny little cross on my wrist to remind me Jesus paid it all to him I owe to live my life laying it down for his glory alone. I'm grateful for the story God has called me to tell. I'm grateful for the opportunity. Mason, thank you for letting me use your time this morning to share it. And my prayer for you today is that you would let it go, whatever it is that's holding you back from milking each day for all it's worth. The girl that was Miss South Carolina before me, she was 5'1". Her name was Sherry Thrift. She's a friend of mine. She clogged to Dixie. Don't y'all act like y'all don't know what clogging is here in North Carolina. She was first runner-up to Miss America. And she was speaking to all of us hopeful contestants at a prayer breakfast back then in the old-timey days, as my children call it. And she said, you know, girls, tonight I will crown a new Miss South Carolina. She said, but in the meantime, I got one more day to wear this crown and I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. And I'll never forget her saying that, because you know what? That's the way I want to be about this life. living it to the full, to the glory of God in the abundant life that Christ paid the price for. We're fixing to celebrate Easter. Jesus paid it all, and then he rose from the grave so that we can live abundant here and eternally there. And so when my record company came to me years ago and they said, we want you to write a song about what God's taught you about your journey of forgiveness, and we want the title to be How Far. Oh, and by the way, it's going to be the title of the record. And I thought, no pressure. And as I began to write, I just knew that God would point me to the cross. Because how can we forgive the unforgivable? We can't. But Jesus did. On the cross, he said, it is finished. Paid in full, so that we can then say, I forgive you, and be set free. Don't you want to be free indeed? Don't you want to live each day as long as you have breath? Live in the story that God has entrusted you to tell. May the Lord speak to your heart through this song this morning. It's called How Far. To forgive, to forget, to release, to let go. These are words that I say, but are they words that I mean? They've come from my heart, but do I really know how far must forgiveness go? How far must we go? Must we reach inside, past the heart to find the grace shown through the ages? How far must forgiveness go? Past the we reach inside, past the heart to find. how far. Forgiveness must go. Oh, how far. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse.
Stand together this morning. We have heard and seen living testimony to a powerful message of forgiveness. We want to extend an invitation to you this morning that perhaps there's someone in your own life that you know you need to forgive, you need to make peace with. I want to invite you to bring that person's name here to the altar and pray for God to do through you what you cannot do on your own, which is a God-sized task of forgiveness. Or perhaps you're someone who heard that word from John 3:16, whosoever believes, and you'd like to become a whosoever this morning. You've never accepted Christ. You've never committed to following him and allowing him to live and work through you. I want to invite you to make that decision public. Come and talk to me this morning and receive Christ. Perhaps you need to simply use this time to bow silently where you are and pray about something that's just between you and the Lord. However God has spoken to you today, would you respond as we sing together, "You Are My King"?
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Sing that again. In all I do, I honor you. May we honor you.
Dawn, we are so thankful for you coming and sharing with us. And I'm going to invite you to make your way to the back so that I know many of you are going to want to speak to her personally and just connect with her. She also has, I'm pretty sure, some CDs that you may want to take a look at as well. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May the God of all time, the God of all creation, the God of the universe, be God over you this week, and may you be his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Go in peace.